Dear Heavenly Father, please use Melissa today. She's a good vessel. And let your truth be heard today, Lord. And we thank you, Melissa, for bringing the word today. I love her beautiful heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, lovely. Thanks, lovely. Yes, I will have that. Thank you. And I'm going, people doing good stuff everywhere for me. Thank you. Andrew's going to read the Bible for me too. So thank you.
No worries. If you got a Bible handy, we're reading from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, and then 18 to 23. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun since they didn't have deep roots. They died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as what had been planted. Anyone with ears should hear, should listen and understand. Now down to verse 18. I'm reading from the New Living Translation too, by the way. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. This is Jesus talking. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems and are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lures of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on the good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or 100 times as much as what had been planted. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Gary, I have a very similar story to you. I toyed for a long time when God was telling me to become a Salvation Army officer. And you know how you sit with that whole, really, God? Like, what do I do? I had two different great options for my life. And I'm going, I don't know which one to do. And there was a message that one of Andrew's friends did. I was sitting in church. Do you know what? It's always good to sit in church to hear God. Just saying, if you want to hear God, come to church. You will hear him in other places, but you're more likely to hear him in church. Anyway, this guy was preaching and he said, it's when you step out in faith, that's when you find the way. So the next day I called up, said, I think I want to be a Salvation Army officer. And the rest is history, really. But it was that word that was really important to me, so the stepping out part's really, really good. Do you know, I'm not young anymore, but I used to be, and, you know, funny that. And when I was younger, we had this church camp, and I was like the tomboy kind of girl that there were some guys that were a little bit older than me, and I loved it because they were a few years older, and I used to just, you know, chase after them. Not any kind of relationship or anything, but they were fun, funny guys. So I was always, hey, let me keep up. And they would do the most ridiculous pranks and fun things, and I thought it was hilarious. So I knocked around with them quite a bit. And there was this camp that we had, and jury's out whether it was a good prank or not, but they did this prank. And it was, we'd stayed up late, so, you know, as you do when you're young and stupid. So I was probably about 15, and someone had made this machine, it's like a circuit that beeped when you put the two wires together, you know, beep, beep. And so if you did it enough times, it sounded like a heart monitor, you know, in the like ER, you know, beep, beep. So we had this other youth group guy, sorry, Matthew, who was asleep. He went to sleep early. And so the rest of us, like people that stayed up late, we kind of snuck into the room where he was asleep, and we were right next to him. We had a tray with like cutlery in it, so we're like jiggling around like we're in a surgical thing going on, and the thing's beeping away, beep, 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 and they're going, we're losing him, beep, and then it flatlined, beep, we lost him, and then everything just went quiet, and this guy kind of rolled over and kind of looked in the air a bit and then went back to sleep, and we, you know, we're like, you know, trying not to laugh. But sometimes I wonder, I mean, what did this guy take away from that night? You know, did God speak to him? Did he have like a near-death experience? Like, what on earth was going on with that? I'm sorry, Matthew, if you ever do watch this and you do have some memory, get in touch, because, you know, love to know. But it's one of their basic desires, though, to hear God. And sometimes we do wake up in the middle of the night and go, what was that? Like, was that God speaking to me? Was it too much pizza? Like, am I too stressed about something? What is going on? And to know, how do we discern what's God's voice in all the noise of today is a really important skill to have. So today we're going to look at that, because one of the things people say to me quite often is, I don't know what God's saying. And we say, well, what has God said about this situation? So I don't know. So here's some tips how to hear God's voice. On your seat is an outline. It's got some gaps if you want to fill the gaps in. If you've got anything that speaks into you right now, you might want to jot that down as well, because taking it home and reading it over is a really good way of retaining information. And all through the Bible, there's all these phrases that says, and God said, or the word of God came to such and such. So it's something that happens. It happens. But in this parable that Andrew just read in Matthew 13, it's talking about a mental attitude that we have. And some people preach and say, well, the soils are, you know, different people. You know, some people are ready to hear and some people aren't. But I read this, and a lot of the commentaries I read, it's actually talking about this being four different attitudes that we can have when God speaks to us. So we can do all four things. A little bit like Melbourne, all in the same day, probably. You know, four seasons. We can do it all. So Jesus is saying there's a farmer who goes out to sow seed. Now, in the sowing seed, in those days, they didn't have a machine that just popped it into the ground and covered it up for you. They would actually go and they'd sow the seed out and they'd throw it out, and it would cover a large area over this tilled ground. And he'd scatter it. And that's the word of God in our lives. It comes quite often. Are we ready to hear it? Are we ready to hear it? So there's four kind of attitudes. And the first attitude heading we're going to have is, I need to cultivate an open mind. I need to want to hear from God. I need to be eager to hear what he says. Do you know, sometimes I know God's telling me something, I don't want to know it, so I'm not going to listen to it, and, you know, that's my closed mind. And we all do that. We all know what we need to do, and we don't want to do it, so we just kind of, la, 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 you know, I'm not listening, God. And we close our minds off. And that's the first soil that they're talking about in the story, is a closed mind. And it says, what Andrew just read, it says in verse 5, some seed fell on the path and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air came and ate it up. And then in verse 12, it talks about the same path. It says, those along the path are like people who hear, and then the devil comes along and takes away the word from their hearts so they cannot believe and be saved. Now, this path is, picture like you're out in the countryside, and it's the same path that's been walked on every day, and it's been hot. So it's one of those compacted paths. It's really, really hard. It's got some cracks in it. There's nothing can grow there because it's been walked on so many times. That's how hard that soil is. You can't grow things in that soil because it's so compacted. You need to dig it up, put some good soil through it, and get it to be a bit more less hostile to plants. And sometimes we're hostile to the word of God. We have our closed minds. We have hard hearts. We have narrow minds. And we're not even open to the possibility that God might speak to us in a new way. And as a result, Jesus says, God sows seed, but it doesn't sprout because the soil is hard and compacted. And it never gets a chance. Now, sometimes we do that outwardly. We'll sit in church. Sometimes I'll look across and people sit with their arms folded or I sit like this. And you can just see, you know, how open are to be what God wants. And that's not always, sometimes it's comfortable to sit with the arms folded. That's okay. But sometimes we need to look at, sometimes our posture is actually displaying what's happening on the inside. So how open am I? How forward leaning am I into what God has for me? So a closed mind is a hard heart. And I've seen it at every level, in marriages, in relationships, in leaders. And those things can be damaging to us. And there's a lot of reasons why we have a closed mind. It happens. And there's a few reasons. One is pride. We're saying, I don't need God. I've got this. I can handle it on my own. I can resolve it. And we've already decided what we're going to do, so we don't need to hear from God on it. So that's one reason why we have a closed mind. Another reason is my unbelief causes me to have a closed mind. Fear can cause me to have a closed mind. I can be afraid. Sometimes we're afraid of what God might say to us, so I shut it off so I don't even have to contemplate the idea that God might be asking something of me. And then bitterness. Whenever we've been hurt and we hold on to those memories that have hurt us, it causes us to close our mind. Now, bitterness is a form of pride. I never thought of that before, but it's a form of pride because I'm saying if I was in charge instead of God, I wouldn't have let this happen. But when we run from God out of pain, we're running away from the only one that can help us in our pain. So we need to give it to him and get better, not bitter. Get better. Okay, so there's some reasons why we have a closed mind, and that's the hard soil to be on. So the second point is I need to allocate time to listen. The first one was I need to cultivate an open mind and I need to allocate time to listen. I've got to make time to hear God. I really do. At the Salvos Discipleship School, we would give an hour every morning, and every year I'd say to the students, it will never be this easy to have time with God every day. You're never going to have it forced upon you that you need to spend an hour with God every day. It only gets more difficult as, you know, your home life gets busier, you add your husband, add kids, add things into the mix, jobs, it gets harder to schedule in that time with God and to really appreciate how important that time is. But we need to have time to listen to him. We need to slow down, we need to be quiet, we need to plan God time into our schedule. And if that's the end of the day, that's fine. If that's the beginning of the day, if that's your lunch break, if that's during your drive to work, you want to stop down at the lake or whatever, it doesn't really matter what time, it just matters that you have time. The time happens. We're in too much of a hurry sometimes to hear God. Now, sometimes we say to God, okay, God, I'm here and ready, but you got like 30 seconds because I got stuff to do. Oh, okay, that's me. I say that. I'll own it. Come on, God, I want to hear you, but you've got this little time period. And he's going, hey, don't rush me. I want you to be with me, not just hear from me. He wants that relationship. He wants to be there. I like paper daisies. It's one of my favourite flowers. I know it's weird, but I'm weird. That's okay. And early this year, we bought some paper daisies. Was it this year? Might have been last year. Sometime recently, we bought some lovely paper daisies and we planted our garden out with lavender and paper daisies. The other thing I like is autumn crocuses. I know that's weird too, but I like them. They're cute little flowers. And we'd put the paper daisies in and they were really, really healthy in the pot. And after a few weeks, they weren't that healthy in my garden. And so I dug them up and I dug them the whole bigger because there's a little bit clayey soil and put them back in again. Paper daisies don't like clay, apparently. And, you know, put them into pots in the end going, please don't die. They all died. You know, it's okay. But that hardness under there stop the paper daisies from getting their roots down. They couldn't spread out and they couldn't flourish because the clay was kind of trapping them from flourishing. And in the Bible verse, it talks about having shallow soil with rock beneath. And the seed began to grow and it soon withered because of the lack of moisture. Verse 13 says, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for it for a little while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Now, just like that hardened part represents a closed mind, the shallow soil represents the second type of mind. It's a superficial mind. It's shallow. And when Jesus is talking about rocky soil, he's not talking about gravel through the soil, because that's how I would picture it. He's talking about a bedrock that's only a couple of inches down in the whole land. So things can't actually go down deep into the soil and take root because they've only got this much to grow in. And just like my paper daisies couldn't survive with only, you know, the potting mix that they came in, they died. We will die too if we've got this rockiness underneath us. We listen superficially, we sprout up. The word sprouts up in our life. We're excited, but it doesn't last. And when the heat's on and the problems come, we wither and fall away. Now, many times when I preach, I know this happens with a lot of our preachers, people are very encouraging, and it is encouraging to have people come and say, your message really meant a lot to me in my life and whatever else. But unless the message actually changes your life, it's not worth me preaching it. Because I don't want to come up here and just say something nice to everyone every week and you go, oh, that was lovely, give me a nice pat, I feel good, you feel good, we all go home and come back the next week, just same people. What we want is the word to change lives, that to do what it says, to walk out of here and go, well, I heard that, I'm going to put these things into place and my life's going to be different. So if I look back now 6 months ago, am I a different person? If I look back 3 years ago, was the best spiritual time in my life when I first became a Christian? If that's it, then we need to do some serious work, because God wants the best time in our life to be today. And he wants us to be the best relationship with him today. And tomorrow we're going to step into something more. We don't want to be shallow. Studies show that people remember 10% of what they hear, 20% of what they read, and 80% of what they do. So we need to be doers of the word. So being hearers, I mean, sermon's lovely. You can watch it again if you really want to. But just hearing it's not going to change your life. Just coming to church on Sunday and not connecting with God any other times isn't going to change your life. You're kidding yourself. We have to connect with God every day. We need to practice what we're hearing. I need to schedule time every day where I stop with my Bible, read, and I listen to what God has to say for me. This has to happen. Why will God give me a new thing if I haven't put into practice what he told me to do last week? And that's one of our questions we ask people quite often. What did God tell you to do last? Have you done it? Have you done it? Because he's not going to give us more if we haven't done the last thing he's told us to do. Okay, let's commit to spend time. And when we get alone with God, we can say, okay, God, what's next? So it's not just about me talking to him. It's about me saying, okay, God, what's next? What's next in my career? What's next in my marriage? What's next in my relationships? What's next in my church? What's next with my kids? What do you want to speak to me about in these areas? And he wants to speak to us. So we need to cultivate an open mind and allow time to listen to him. Okay, number three, I need to eliminate the distractions. Verse 7, Jesus said, other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And then jump to verse 14, which explains it. He says, this seed that fell among the thorns stands or represents those who hear the word, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. This is a preoccupied mind. We're distracted. It grows up, it looks wonderful, and before it can even bear fruit, it falls apart. The wheels fall off. So what are the things that can distract us? Our worries distract us from what God is telling us. Our worries. I love Joyce Meyer talks about your worries is like being in a rocking chair. It's an awful lot of work, but you go nowhere. We can't pray and worry at the same time. We need to take it to God. Riches can be a weed in my life. We can be so busy making money and buying things that break down that we don't have time for God. So busy making a living, we don't live. We work hard, pay the bills, we catch up, and then something falls apart. We've got to earn more money to spend that on the thing that we're trying to upkeep so that we can have it, you know, and it just distracts. And we fall into bed at night, and then we get up in the next morning and do exactly the same thing. It gets crowded in there, and God gets crowded out. And in the desire to make money, we can forget God. Another weed we can have is pleasures. There's nothing wrong with pleasures. There's nothing wrong with fun things. God gave us a world that's incredibly fun to be in. And God gave us the ability to have fun. God wants us to enjoy our life. That's one of our statements, is here, love God, love people, love life. So we're all for that. But he's saying we can be so busy having fun that we can decide whether we're going to give God the time or not. You know, so, oh, it's such a great weekend. I'm not going to go to church. I'm going to go do this instead on Sunday. Or it's so good, all these doing all these things, I'm going to choose between what God wants me to do and what I want to do. When recreation replaces worship, we have a problem. So a weed is anything that distracts me from making time to be with God. And when we have weeds in our life, it's a sign of neglect. So when I start neglecting God on a daily basis, when I start neglecting the small group that we're in, we start neglecting time with him, when I start neglecting getting together with other Christians in worship, any of those things, the weeds are going to grow into my life, and the Bible says it's going to choke the spiritual joy out of me. It's just going to choke me. I don't want to be choked. So I need to cultivate an open mind, allocate time to listen, eliminate the distractions, and the fourth one, the last one is, I need to cooperate with what he says. Here's a little secret. God chooses to speak to people who have decided in advance that they're going to do whatever God says. So it's not wait and see what God or someone is asking you to do. It's saying, I'm going to be willing no matter what I'm asked to do. That's really hard and scary for people that like to be in control. Yeah? Anyone not like to be in control? We do. We like to have some sense of control. When someone says, can you do something for me? You say, what? You know? Wouldn't it be nice if someone said, can you do something for me? Yeah, absolutely, whatever you want. You know, we do that to God as well. We want to have some control. So the fourth soil represents a willing heart and mind. So willing to do whatever God tells us to do before he even tells us. That's a hard call and that's a great sign of maturity, but it's possible. We can do it. So verse 15 says, the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word of God and retain it and by persevering produce a good crop. They not only hear God's word, but they retain it. And the result is a productive life. It's pretty good. I want to be that soil. I want to be that soil. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Oh, we need to do it. We need to do what God's telling us to do. Now, during COVID, we did what a lot of other people did and we bought stuff online. And I'll buy stuff online, of course. So we bought from Bunnings a raised garden bed with great dreams and plans while we were locked down that we were going to do a big garden. Of course, that didn't happen. So we had it sitting in our garage for a bit. It was helpful because when we got some flooding, we were able to put it up and stop the water from getting into our garage, so it was useful. But we eventually had to get some drainage done to stop that flooding along our fence line. And while we were there, we said, well, let's just chuck out the old garden and put the new one in while we're doing that. So the the gardening contractors came in and they did all that for us. Now, what I've got in that garden, my little garden, was a worm farm. Melissa's worm farm. Very protective of my worms. You can say Melissa has worms. That's okay. Thank you. So it's about this high. And so the guys came in, they took out the old garden and they had a whole pile of rubbish going to the tip in the back of this. And I came out and I saw my worm farm sitting out there and I was devastated because I thought that the whole thing had been emptied into this this trailer to go to the tip. And so I'm outside messaging Andrew going, they've murdered my worms, you know, all very sad. And then when I finally investigated it, they just picked the whole thing up and put it on the ground, you know, so the worms are fine. You can stop worrying. It's okay. So I got some pictures. This is my worm farm in my new garden, right? So it's pretty cool. I really recommend these. These are fun. So it's just got a lid on top. It goes deep into your ground. Stay back on the last one a bit, just a bit more, Adam. Thanks. And you just take the lid off. You put your scraps in and then you put your lid back on again. And the worms are so happy. And there's a big hole at the bottom. They can go in and out as they please. And then when it gets really full, you just dig your hand in there and you pull all the compost out and you scatter it over your garden and you have a healthier garden. So pretty good setup. Let's keep going. Thank you. So that's what inside looks like. That's our banana peels and lettuce and whatever else. Next one. And so here's my worms. Can you see them? Mate, if you know, I love them so much. You know, you get your hand right in there and there's thousands and thousands of them. And in summer, they all climb up into the lid because it's so hot. It's winter, so they're all like right down in the garden because it's so stinking cold. Worms feel it too. It's okay. And so there's my worms. So I'm pretty impressed with my worms. So they actually make my garden healthier. And so when we put this garden bed in, I started my worm farm up you know, well, it was already going, but I put it into my garden, tell the worms to be happy and, you know, do worm things. And so it's okay, you're allowed to talk to your worms. It's okay. I do like them. The worms are great. Anyway, so then we decided to plant a garden. Like, we've got the worms in, we got the soil right, and we went back to the gardening section and bought some plants to put into our garden. So we got cucumbers and capsicums and tomatoes, and we had some existing things, I'm not sure. So let's throw the next picture up. So we had our bumper crop over Christmas time. We'll just stay on that one for a sec, please, Adam. We had our bumper crop over Christmas time, and then it all died out. And so we put all of our scraps, you know, continue to put your scraps into your worm farm. And then I scatter the dirt, the soil out of the worm farm back onto the garden. And then before I knew it, all these weird plants started growing. We've got pawpaws growing in my garden. I know, they're this high. It's amazing. Got little pawpaw trees growing. We started getting cherry tomatoes growing. So this is yesterday. Right now we've got cherry tomatoes, quite a good bunch of them, sitting on my... in my garden, and I've got tomatoes growing. So keep going, Adam. A little tiny cucumber growing. This is so cute. Check on that one every day. So cute. Okay, go to the next one. Pumpkins. I didn't even plant those. I don't know where they came from. We must have made pumpkin salad or something and put them in the worm farm. And now we've got pumpkins growing in our garden. We've got two there, another one somewhere else. Is there another one? Capsicum. They're finally coming to the party. I think that's it for that section. Is that it? Two more. Okay. Oh, there's some more capsicums, and last one. Now, look at this one. This is quite... I know. There's a tomato on a dead tomato bush. And here's the bit I want you to hear. I have not cared for that garden the second time round. I've just come out and gone, oh, look, there's fruit. It's doing okay. And things keep shooting up. Now, if you went back and looked through all those photos again, they've got holes in them. There's pests in them. I don't go through them at night looking for the slugs anymore like I used to. So there's all kinds of brown leaves. There's markings. My capsicums will grow. They'll develop. And then I have to put them in my compost heap because they've got something wrong with them. They haven't come up very good at all because I'm not caring for my soil. I'm not caring for my garden. I used to fertilize it every week. I'm not doing that. I used to water almost every day. I'm not doing that. I would just go and I would say, you're okay. But I'm not putting the effort into it, and the cracks are starting to show. And now I've got dead tomato plants trying their hardest to bear fruit. And you know, I look at that and I go, how many dead Christians do we have trying to bear fruit because the soil has not been cared for? And I know for my life, that's my wake-up call. Too many times I try to produce some fruit and God's saying, I want you to fix the soil. Because you can only fake it for so long. And then you start having holes and cracks and disease and bitterness and pain and stuff starts hanging out that you can't keep in. And God's saying, it's all you need to do is come back and fix your soil. Let me show you the last picture. This is what my garden looked like in January. Look at that harvest. Now, you thought the tomatoes that were growing yesterday were okay. This is one tomato plant. One tomato plant that was fertilized, that was watered. I talked to them, so I figure that gives it some kind of health as well. But the abundance that came from that harvest when I cared for the soil was so much more than what I'm getting now. And I think my harvest is pretty good now, but if I could just remember what it's like when I cared for the soil. How's your soil today? There's four kinds. You can identify where you are. You might want to be trying to identify where someone else is. God's not asking you to do that. He's asking me, where is my soul at today? Am I hearing the word? Is it being snatched away? Is it being, you know, choked by the world, things around me? Is my heart hard because of something that's happened and I won't let God in anymore? Where's my soil at? We're going to get the band up to play and sing. You might want to sing. You might want to just reflect in this space. You might want to come and pray. You know, if your heart's good and your soul's great, please pray for someone else that's struggling at the moment, because we're all going through trials at some point in our life. We all need the intercession and support from someone else. But if you want that abundance, if you want that fruitful abundance, I encourage you to do something about it today. And it just might be coming and saying to God, hey, I give up trying to do it my way. I want to do it your way. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get healthy soil. I'm going to do whatever it takes to stop having weird things growing in my life that shouldn't be there. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get rid of the disease and the pain and the hurt out of my life. If you'd like to come out to the mercy seat to pray today, I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to ask someone to pray for you. I encourage you to sing, but I encourage you most of all to connect with God and have Him speak into what He will want you to take today.